This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Is there something, is he that, I mean, all of his art is very macabre. And look, there's plenty of people who do macabre art that aren't murderers. It's very dark. It all seems to be like it would fit in to exactly what's going on here, that there's a body and it's about this woman or child. I don't want to say woman, it's a child. That seems to be connected to him. Is he that stupid? I mean, there are, we've obviously deal with morons all the time in this world, but I'm wondering, is he that dumb that he would be connected to it in this way? He's literally like, if it's him, he created a trail that leads directly to him with video.
Right. He's throwing breadcrumbs out there.
Yeah. It's not even breadcrumbs. It's billboards. Really? Right. I mean, it's like, look.
Yeah. Look over here. You know what? If there's anything we know in the true crime community, and that you well know, the reason they're successful is because criminals are stupid and mm-hmm. do dumb things. It's not because of the, you know, overwhelming brain power of our law enforcement, not to be mean. I'm just saying that they leave clues. They make these incredible mistakes, especially people who haven't committed these types of crimes before. So just put yourself in his shoes, Tony. Now not that you would ever do this, but you've committed this murder. You don't know how to hide the body. Nobody knows about it. Say you chop it up, you put it in a plastic bag, you put it in your car trunk, and then you say, well, I'm just going to abandon it over here because who knows when it will be found, when it will be towed. That gives me a little time to distance myself from this and do some concerts, and hopefully nobody will link me up to it. That's how these people think. When you interview them, Tony, they literally think that they're going to get away with it. They think it's going to work in their favor. And again, David hasn't been charged.
Yeah.
He's been charged. So he's not even been listed as a person of suspicion. But I tell you, from a law enforcement lens, when they serve that search warrant at his house, he's a person of suspicion.
Why would they not name him as a person of suspicion publicly?
Well, I love how they're going about this. This is the old FBI, not the current Cash Patel FBI.
Thank God.
The FBI of now it's just much different. You know, they're promoting transparency. They're promoting, we're going to let everybody know everything. And I will say, in the Charlie Cook Kirk shooting, I mean, they just spelled it all out very, very early in the ICE shooting from yesterday. I mean, Cash Patel is posting evidence of the ammunition with this writing on them straight away within hours.
Yeah, it screams inexperience, but go on.
It's just not the FBI I grew up
no.
with, where we kept everything close to the vest. And to my point here is that's what LAPD is doing. Everything is close to the vest. They are going down, they're doing their business, and they don't want public opinion and this tried in the public.
Sure.
They're doing it right, in my opinion. And then you know what's going to happen? They're going to have charges. They're going to have their ducks in a row. And then people can discuss it.
That's what I'm feeling on this. And thankfully, you want to have your ducks in a row. I'm sure they have an eye on him. I'm sure he's not going to be fleeing anywhere. If he does, hopefully they have an eye on him. Hopefully the new FBI has an eye on him. Maybe Cash has one eye on him. I don't know. But... but it's not just about her death. What we're talking about here is a huge span of time. So this digital footprint that they're going to be looking back on this guy, and obviously he's 20, he's all over social media, he's on Discord, he's on everything. It's been revealed on some of these, I believe it's the Reddit or something, he was running his own Reddit, and now a lot of people are looking back going, seems a lot of these posts are being deleted that seem to have something to do with this girl. And there's a lot of suspicion there of evidence attempting to be wiped as well that might have been out there in the public that may show some sort of connection. There's going to be a lot that is going to reveal something. I guess what that something is what we have yet to find out.
Well, Tony, that's the reason this is taking so long. His social media footprint is more like a, you know, like two double footprints, you know, mm-hmm. A body print, because per David, and I actually just watched a video about him talking about his whole world is the internet. His world is social media, his friends, his connect. That is his circle, interestingly enough, him talking about that. So imagine the footprint this is going to have for investigators. It is going to be overwhelming for them to look back. And I know exactly what you're talking about. There was, you know, supposedly again that it's David, it's been taken down, and supposedly, you know, reference to a pregnancy. And expecting, but now it's down. Was that even him? Is this Papa Roger? You know, who is this?
So, tell Cash to look for Papa on the other eye.
On the other side.
One's there, one's there. Yep. I mean, there's a lot to try and unpack as to who this is, or what is the hell is going on here. You know, like in the Koberger case, we looked at that and we're still like, why did you do this? Like, what is going on? I mean, it looks, if you were to analyze Koberger, you go, maybe he was so into this idea that he wanted to try and experience this for himself in some sort of sick, weird way. Again, David has not been charged with anything as of this recording. He is innocent until proven guilty, not even charged. The macabreness of the art, everything that he was into, it's a weird thing to think of, but, you know, is this something that he thought, or as an artist, like, let's go experience this, and then I can be a better artist, because then I can, my art can really reflect the reality of this. I'm not just, you know, giving it an interpretation through music.
Right. In other words, was this all premeditated in a weird, you know, insane way, this murderous plot? I really believe from the evidence we have, and that is this dismembered body in a trunk of a, she would have died at 14-year-old girl, that this was something that wasn't necessarily planned, that this was passion, that this was a horrible act that then tried to be covered up, as opposed to this plan that was thought out and well put together. It doesn't strike me as that from the evidence we know.
She was 15, genetically 15 in terms of her age when they found her, going missing at 13. If we were to look back on a relationship here or something, it could possibly put David as a minor when he was in a relationship with her. It also might not. It might also put him at 20 or 18 or whatever. There's that aspect of it as well, where you have an adult and a minor going on here. Obviously, that's not very good, and it could scream to some motive as well, especially if, again, pure speculation of if there was a pregnancy or something, or just, I don't know, somebody pointing this out in the public, like, oh, you're dating a minor in your 20, that might cause some issues, and it might, you know, be reason to, if you have, for someone to go away.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the only evidence that law enforcement is going to be able to have to figure out whether he was preying on a minor, and in other words, having sexual experiences with somebody below age, which is quite illegal.
Yes.
They're only going to be able to prove that if A, they wrote about it with one another. So I see in text messaging them describing sexual scenes to one another. If there's video of what they were doing. But other than that, you can't just say, well, they were sitting at a kitchen table and they have shush tattoos and he loves Hello Kitty and she loves Hello Kitty. You can't say that that means that they were having sex with one another. Mm-hmm. Now, law enforcement, believe me, is going to be looking for any and all videos, photos, communications. And remember, he's had a long time, if he is responsible, to cover this up. Found on the 8th. It was towed, I believe, Tony, on the 3rd. Mm-hmm. My best information I could find was on the streets at least 5 days. At least 5 days. But I, like you, had read something that it was 3 weeks. But now, you know, I don't know. There's no good information out there from law enforcement.
I would imagine that Tesla will answer that question. I don't think I don't think there's a way to completely disable everything in a Tesla when it comes to some basic information like that.
Agreed. We're going to know that when it stopped, when it started, the navigation. Mm-hmm. I think
where it was. Yeah.
Yes. I think that will be the only thing I don't know if they disabled was the security system, which are all those wonderful cameras that show everybody going in.
Sure.
That, you know, you touch the car and your phone lights up and goes, Jen, somebody just touched your Tesla.
Yeah. And wow. Yeah.
That, you know, oh yeah, yeah. Everything is communicated through your phone. Everything's controlled through your phone. So it's, you know, it's great technology and hopefully it solves the riddle.
Well, it's going to tell us where it was. And that's, I mean, the fact that we may not have the camera aspect of it, but so many other aspects that otherwise wouldn't have existed had it been a few years ago, really, or any other vehicle for that matter. When you have a body that is, if it's true, if she was dismembered, how difficult does that make it for the medical examiner to determine cause of death? And then how does that play into charges or the investigation?
Well, you know, it's been an interesting question. Was she really dismembered, or is she sitting in that trunk for so long that she's so decomposed that different limbs? And that they would easily be able to tell if she was dismembered. Why? Because you have to use tools to dismember somebody. So you're going to have saw marks or cut marks or marks from tools. So they're going to be able to determine that. As far as determining the cause of death, they're also going to be able to determine that, I believe. Toxicity, you know, what toxins were inside of her. That's something I'm really curious about. In other words, this could be anything from also an accidental overdose. I mean, there's so many possibilities here. We don't know what their drug usage was, if they had any drug usage. We don't know that at this point. But tox, I think, is going to be important. And Tony, to answer your question in short, I think they will be able to determine a general cause. You know, whether it was strangulation. We know there was skin because her shush tattoo, that's how she was identified.
Yeah. So that was there at the very least. I mean, that I would, I don't know. I've never, I don't do any of that. So I have no idea, but I mean, does that make it more difficult to identify if there was something like strangulation? I would imagine toxicology would depend on just how long the body's been there and what's still in existence. Which I would think maybe you could tell more about drug use, overdoses, things of that nature. But when you chop up the body, does that also kind of hinder that to a certain extent as compared if you had a whole body?
Well, no, you have hair.
Yeah.
Toxins are secreted in the hair. You have tissue. Assuming there was tissue there, and I'm only judging that from the fact that we know there was a shush tattoo.
Yeah. So
add some skin. We know that, you know, they're able to do so much with bones and with organs, if there were any. They're going to be able to tell a lot. If there was a kidney and a liver, they're going to be able to tell toxicity. And they're also, we don't know... You know, we don't know what stage of decomposition, but I tell you what, a few days in a trunk in a hot environment like Los Angeles in a plastic bag that's going to keep moisture in and cause even more excessive decomposition, it's going to be tough. And that's another reason why this is taking a long time. I mean, I always tell everybody, this is a short time in a homicide investigation right now.
It is. It really is. I mean, you're exactly right. And everybody's just, you know, salivating for the charges against somebody, but you certainly want to do it right. Would you imagine that David's been questioned by now?
He's absolutely been questioned. In fact, it came out in a local release that he was cooperating.
Okay.
What does that mean? I would think he has an attorney. I mean, he is somewhat of a celebrity. I find it very interesting that he canceled his entire European tour. Can he even travel outside?
Yeah.
States. But then again, he canceled his national tour too, which also tells me a lot. I mean, you have both of his big name brands that have said, canceled, we're done. And that also tells me a lot. I don't think it's just based on the investigation. I think it's also based on, you know, rumors and what they're hearing. you know, we always say in the FBI, you ask about any rumors that are heard because there's always a little bit of truth to those.
Yeah. I mean, if you're willingly and you are the one that are choosing to cancel your tours and things of that nature, that tells me that, you know, you might be in for a long road somewhere that you can't exactly be on the road for, because you're going to be needed over here, or you may be detained over here. Unless you're R. Kelly, you just keep touring until they arrest you. That's a whole different story. But maybe David is thinking it differently. But that's you made a good point earlier. We don't know if this was murder. It could have been somebody freaking out after some sort of overdose or accident. What do I do? And you're 20 and you're, you know, very limited problem solving skills. Maybe this is what happens. And it certainly looks horrible and is horrible, but maybe it's not homicide. We don't know the answer to that.
Well, I will say, Tony, again, from all the reports we've seen, they did rule it a homicide. In fact, I believe I just read this morning, the Emmy's very limited post that it's a homicide. So we do know it's the infliction of death on one human to another. But again, that can also mean, look at the three Kansas City guys who died. They're, you know, they just got charged. Remember that case? The three guys frozen from fentanyl. Well, they just charged the homeowner and the drug dealer with homicide.
Sure.
So all sorts of different caveats to it.
So that charge, or the homicide ruling, could be because there was drugs in a system. That would be one human to another, like somewhere they're getting these drugs, and that would be a homicide. Or somewhere on the body, beyond the dismembered portions, that there would be some evidence that maybe like a bullet, stab wounds, strangulate. I mean, would there be something there that they would also have triggered that ruling of saying homicide? There'd have to be something very specific, I would think, to make them go, this is a homicide versus undetermined.
Right. Some of the main things that quickly such a determination can be made a lot of times is blunt force trauma. Mm-hmm. And they came out right away and said homicide before Celeste's name was ever even mentioned. So they have evidence that they were quickly able to establish it. What I always say also is, believe me, that homicide detective was sitting in the autopsy room as the autopsy was being performed by the ME, trying to get a feel for, what are we looking at here, doc? Yeah. Accident, homicide, suicide? Obviously not suicide, but, well, I don't know. Actually had a case, not me in the role of an FBI agent, but me in the role as a contributor, a case where somebody had committed suicide and was found in the trunk. You know, it can happen.
It's an interesting way.
They ruled this a homicide, so I think that is what we're looking for.
Be very interesting to see where that goes.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.